I'm Jay from the Starling Tribune, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one that you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 92, discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 1, Laws of Nature! This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because, hey guys, let's give Coulson a hand.
Yeah. If you'd like to talk to us about giving Coulson a hand, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have a YouTube channel where we're also Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com. Or if you have a smartphone, you can search for Gunna Geek on the Tapatalk app.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to finalize our Ant-Man Marvel Crate giveaway. We're going to start another giveaway. We're going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laws of Nature. We have our weekly comic book news segments, both from Adam and Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment. We're going to talk about your Marvel news and your feedback. So today, we are finally, after a long summer, giving away our Ant-Man Marvel Crate, aren't we, Haley?
Yep, it is time.
It is time, and after much thought, after going over the submissions, there is obviously only one individual that can get this Marvel crate.
It's Scott Lang, isn't it? He just came in and stole it.
There you go. Lauren, I'm passing it to you.
Oh, yay!
Nepotism, yay!
My tiny voice says yay!
Tiny voice, the tiny voice.
The tiny voice.
And yes, I've got my tiny Ant-Man on my mic stand. If you can see me on YouTube or on Blab, you can see the tiny bobblehead Ant-Man. So there you go, Lauren. Congratulations. I will get this in the mail to you sometime, and you will get it sometime.
Yay! I'm Kermit flailing.
But don't worry. If you missed out on this, we have another one, don't we, Lauren?
Yes, we do. Our next giveaway is, I forget which box it is, because Marvel crates are...
It's yours. It's yours.
Oh,
it's the Angry Groot.
Angry Groot. Okay. Our next giveaway is a con-exclusive Angry Groot Pop Funko figure.
Ooh.
Yes, because everybody loves Groot.
It's one of the big ones, too.
Yes. And what you need to do in order to get this awesome Angry Groot is you need to get a hold of us, call, email, tweet us, leave us a comment on Facebook, and you need to tell us what you want to see as Coulson's alternate hand. As we saw at the end of last season and the beginning of this season, Coulson is now down one hand. Coulson is now plus one robot hand. If Coulson was not plus one robot hand, what would you rather that he have? Let us know, and you could win an Angry Groot.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to your submissions. You can get us at all the ways, our Twitters, our Facebooks, whatever, even our voicemail line, 844-843-2871 or 844-THE-BUS-1. And yes, I didn't change it. And yes, we got a new bus. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yay!
I just want to talk about one last thing before we start. Today is International Podcast Day, and we are celebrating by podcasting on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 premiere. Isn't it great, gals?
It is awesome.
Yay.
Awesome. It's finally back.
It's here.
It's happening.
It's happening. All righty. So, yes, it is happening, and it happened, and I unfortunately was podcasting a gig last night. I couldn't watch it live, but I was seeing all these amazing tweets come through on my phone from Lauren, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch it. I gotta watch it. I got to it at 11:30 last night, and I watched it. It was great.
Yes. I was so happy. I was just there like, oh, watching it. I can't believe it's on. I can't believe it's on. And then, of course, you know, the tweeting and the seeing of what was going on and the screaming and the science babies and the sadness and the feelings and the happiness and the fighting. And yes, there was a lot of feelings here last night.
We got mentions of Sokovia. We got mentions of New York. I'm assuming both Manhattan and Harlem. We got mentions of London and PIM Technologies. It was a Marvel fest.
We got President Ellis from Iron Man 3, as still played by William Sadler.
Yes. It was all great. Who apparently doesn't answer to himself?
Yeah, I mean, okay, Rosalind, that is her name, right?
Right.
Yes. I kept thinking of her scary lady because she was creeping me out. Yeah, she has like a billion names, but let's go with Rosalind. Yeah, she was scary. We don't know who she's answering to, if she answers to anyone, and apparently the president answers to her.
Apparently. And okay, so what is this? The Advanced Containment Tactical Unit, right?
TASPS unit. I don't remember.
What is that? Is that somewhere in Marvel Comics?
That was the worst acronym they've ever come up with.
ATCU. What is that? Is that even in the comics?
I don't think so.
So they made something up. I swore we were going to get Sword. I saw her and I was like, oh, this is Sword.
That's what I thought too.
I was hoping, and then no.
I thought that was the announcement he was going to make.
But no.
Yeah, I had my fingers crossed for Sword. That didn't happen. We got an acronym that you can't backronym into something fun.
ATCU.
ATCU.
I'm sure they'll think of something. So we find out what's happening with the fish oil. It's too late. It's not isolated. It's in the environment. And anybody who's got a gene is going to get hit at some point in time.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, we did mention this at the end of last season. We were like, but it's in the water, you guys. This is bad.
It is. And so I have a question. How is this advanced containment task unit getting there before S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Let's just call him ATCU, because it's funnier that way.
ATCU.
Okay, how is ATCU getting there before S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway, in the first place? How do they know? Are they just tied into the grid a little bit more than S.H.I.E.L.D. is right now?
I'm going with psychics.
Ooh, I see. Kind of a Heroes Reborn motif.
Or maybe they have more teams out in the field.
Could be.
Too.
So they can deploy faster.
Because they're an actual governmental organization?
Right.
Could be.
Or else maybe they kept some of that Zola technology that we thought was all destroyed from Winter Soldier.
Yeah, could be.
The predictive stuff.
So question, who is the third party? Who's actually killing these Inhumans?
That is Lash.
Yeah, he seems to have some issues.
Yes.
Like, a lot of issues.
He has some issues when Daisy drops him down three floors.
Yeah, we were watching that, and Scott's like, oh, yeah, sure, just go make that someone else's problem. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Oh, there's nobody else below that's going to get harmed.
No,
don't worry about it.
It's not like you're at a hospital or anything. Just, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Eugh. All right. So, Lash, tell me about Lash, because I don't know anything about Lash.
Okay. So, as we saw, Lash is an Inhuman. He's big, spiky, freaky, and he was created by Matt Fraction and Joe Madura in Inhuman number one.
Okay.
So he's a fairly recent creation.
Okay.
So I'm reading through his biography on Wikipedia to make sure that I get it kind of correct.
I did that earlier today.
Yes.
He's like a judge for all these new Inhumans that are created in the comics.
Yeah.
Which is similar to something that's happening in the TV show right now.
Yeah, I guess he's decided he doesn't like these new guys.
Well, in the comics, he judged each one to see if they were worthy of being an Inhuman. And if he found them worthy, they didn't get incinerated.
Yeah, whereas what we're seeing here is either, I don't know, the way I was thinking about it, either he's one of the old guard who's really mad about how things are going now, and he's just kind of, I don't know, summarily killing them because things aren't the way that they used to be. Or he's one of the new ones, and he's just really angry about how things are going right now, and he's just killing them all because, oh no, we're monsters, I have some kind of mission. I don't know, it could be a completely third option.
I'm looking forward to finding out. And knowing this show, we might find out next episode, or it might be the mid-season finale. Who knows? All right. So where do you guys want to go next? I know where I want to go next, but Haley, where do you want to go next?
Let's talk for a minute about the new bus.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
It's still got that new bus smell, guys.
It does. And this is a little bit more realistic, I think.
It's all like shiny and streamlined, and it's got that, you know, the crate training for new Inhumans.
Those crates were awesome. And I didn't realize it the first watch through, but I was like, how did Coulson and Hunter get out of there? It was the crate. It dropped into the subway and then took off.
Yeah. And I love that. Okay. On Twitter, Chloe Bennett and Clark Gregg kept making IKEA jokes about the crates. Because they were
that.
So, you know, blendingly white and pretty.
Yeah, they definitely did have an original Doctor Who control room vibe with it, with all the white circles and stuff.
Yes, it was very clean.
Very clean. And poor Joey, he just wants to go back to his life.
Oh, I know, I felt bad for him.
Okay, did you guys feel like that was like Brett Dalton's stunt double or something?
Yes!
They did kind of resemble, with the scruff.
Like, he looks so familiar. I'm like, wow, who is this guy? We're going to have to dig into that. So if anybody knows who Joey actually is, if he's worked on the show before, either as Hunter or Ward's stunt double, we need to know. All right. So the bus is awesome. Loved it. It's more realistic. It's got the small helicarrier fans in the wings, and it's got the jets to make it go really fast, too, and everything. It's great. So not realistic at all in terms of engineering, but it looks really cool, and it's not a C-17. So go, Coulson. Way to go with your new toy. It's great.
Ooh, the dude that played Joey, he's also in Narcos, which is a show on Netflix that's very well received, and I have on my queue and haven't got around watching yet. Oh, he was on Flor Salvaje,
yeah, okay.
Which is a telenovela. He's been in a bunch of telenovelas.
So, Haley, describe to me a polytechnical adaptive material.
Magic. Got it.
Fair enough.
I'm sure it's made out of unstable molecules.
Yeah. Oh, talking about unstable molecules, we got to go to Fitz because of the whole black hole thing. But he was awesome in, it was Morocco, right?
Yes.
Oh, 10 years.
That was awesome. He grabbed it by the horn and he just did it. And later on with the shotgun getting into the big thing, he was, just like, Fitz, you're on, buddy.
My little baby all grown up.
I know.
So the science babysitters were in the lab talking science. Yes. And the science baby is out in the field having adventures.
I know. Talk about roles switched. Okay, by the way, I'm so glad that they remembered that Bobby is actually a scientist in the comics. I mean, yes, she will kick your ass, but she will also outthink your ass like 5 ways to Sunday.
So, Bobby, I've heard the term science baby mama.
I don't... That term implies other things, though.
Yeah, I prefer science babysitter.
Yes.
All right. So we might have to go with that.
See, if you were to say science mama, that would be okay.
Science mama. All right.
Yeah, science baby mama is something else.
So now that we've gone through some of the big things, we still got a lot left. This episode was directed by Vincent Misiano, and it was written by these, I don't know, unknowns, Jed Wheaton and Marissa Tankeron. Amazing. They pulled
it
through.
New to the show.
Yeah, just complete unknowns.
And if you're new to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are talking about the showrunners, Jed Wheaton and Marissa Tankeron. So, yes, all S.H.I.E.L.D. veterans. And, of course, you have to come in with a punch nowadays because there's so many options out there. I mean, there's Limitless, there's Minority Report, there's all these shows that Blind Spot that just came out. So, they got to make their big statement. They got to make their big bang in order to get the audience for the rest of the season. So they definitely did with this, and we find out after a long, long summer of wondering, where is Simmons? And so heartbreaking.
Space! She's in space!
Science baby in space.
Science baby in space. Having space adventures.
All dirty, no shower, and running from something. What is she running from?
Space monsters.
I don't know, but I can smell her bug. Her blood.
Her bug?
Yeah, her bug. It can smell her blood. That's why she rubbed some dirt on it.
Okay, so where are they? The Phantom Zone? What's that?
I don't know. I was wondering about this since, I guess, minor spoilers, given that it was on the later this season on S.H.I.E.L.D. We see the guy that's played by Peter McNichol. Remember the exiled Asgardian from the first season?
Oh, yeah.
So presumably it has something to do with where in the Nine Realms is Simmons? And My first guess is somewhere where the traditional Inhumans that we're used to from the comics either are or used to be. Either that or somewhere Loki found himself when he was just kind of, you know, flying through space, going a little bit nuts after Thor. Or else maybe somewhere Thanos is hanging. I don't know. But either way, it looks bad. But on the upside, they seem to have atmosphere that's breathable by humans.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they're on Mars, right?
No. That was not Mars.
I know it wasn't. It was too dark, too purplish.
Yes.
For Mars.
Plus, the moon looked wrong.
There was several of them, weren't there?
Yes, there was at least two, and one of them was very big.
So cool to live on a planet with more than one moon. Why can't we have more than one moon? Why did we just have to have one?
You got a crappy planet, that's why.
I know. That, what's,
get a new one.
That's what made Star Wars so great, right? With Tatooine, you had not one, but two
suns. Two suns.
Two suns, yeah. Binary system. We only have one.
I think Tatooine still only had one moon, though. I'd have to double check the planet guides, but...
Was it a moon? Or was it a...
That's no moon.
Space station. Yeah, there you go.
I'm giving you a withering look right now.
All right, so Simmons is out there, and Fitz is desperately trying to get her. He knows what it is. He knows it's a black hole gateway. He just doesn't know how to activate it. He doesn't know how to get her back. I think it's going to happen at some point in time. Unless, you know, the Guardians come in. Who knows? Guardians could come in.
I mean, Chris Pratt has worked for TV before. We could get him back. All of a sudden, Chris Pratt is like, hey, I see you lost this, and then flies away on a space raptor.
Yeah, it could be, or it could be his dad, who hasn't been cast yet.
Nope.
All right.
Although they are talking slightly unrelated, they are going the whole, he's half Spartax and his dad's probably Jason of Spartax on the Guardians of the Galaxy animated show. But anyway.
So we have a Roslyn, and she is the head of Act Two, and she looks menacing, and Coulson holds his own with her. And is this going to be a new Colonel Talbot?
She seems a lot more competent than Talbot.
That's true. She does.
And she has much less tragic hair.
Also a lot more hardcore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you would expect because the Earth has been attacked several times as the president goes through all the things that has happened. So I sure hope S.H.I.E.L.D. and Act 2 can get to some of these Inhumans before Lash does. I mean, we've got one. One has been saved out of six so far that we know of.
Yeah, that's not a good ratio there.
No, that's not. But if they could team up, they could spread out, and hopefully they could start zeroing in on where Lash is. But he seems to be able to go wherever he wants anyway.
Yeah, he's, I mean, what is that? Is that, like, teleportation? Is that some sort of dimensional tunneling? Whatever it was, it looked cool.
Okay, so we have a question in the chat from @ThatNerdMike, and he says, do you guys think that they will eventually bring in the Inhumans from the comics, like Black Bolt?
I think he probably meant Black Bolt.
Yes, he did. He meant Black Bolt.
I think they're saving the big Inhumans, like Black Bolt, Medusa, and Luna, and all them, for the movie. I think what we're going to be getting is a lot of the lesser-known ones, like right now with Lash, and basically anybody they can kind of get away with saying, oh, technically not a mutant. I think that's who we're going to be getting on the show.
All right. So Daisy does a pretty good job of trying to help Joey, and so does Bobby a little bit. But I don't think Mac's helping at all. I just don't think Mac is the guy that you want to be talking to if you're a new Inhuman.
Probably not. He's not the biggest fan of people with powers.
That's true. He's not. I'm surprised to still see him around, really.
I'm glad to see him around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and talking about the guys that were brought in last year, Hunter, he is going to go after Ward, right?
Yes.
Oh, and without Bobby, I don't think he's got a chance against Ward himself. I think he needs some backup.
I think he's probably going to get some sort of backup. Maybe, I don't know, we'll find some sort of shadowy network of fun people.
Yeah.
To hopefully go up against new Hydra. Different formula, same crappy taste.
But going back to Mac for a second, I'm liking his shotgun axe combo idea.
Mm-hmm. And I love, somebody pointed out on Twitter, and Clark Gregg brought this up. If you look at Coulson's office, you see the axe that chopped off his hand displayed.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm going to have to see that. That's
so
cool.
Yeah, that's just too funny to me.
All right. Lauren, what else do you have for this episode?
Coulson's hand.
Yes.
I love Coulson's robot hand. I love that he's taking it off when he's making a point.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's an evil hand?
I think it's an awesome hand, because then he uses it to beat a guy. Like, I was watching, I was like, this seems like a really bad idea to me to handcuff this hand, because, you know, he can remove it. And then he proceeds to remove it and hit a guy, and it was incredible.
Why beat a guy with his own arm when you can beat him with your own?
Yes!
The many hands of Philip Coulson.
And then he's like, I'm on my third hand! So I want to get as much mileage out of Coulson's robot hand as we can, because that's awesome.
He mentions growing his hand back. Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think they'll run into something that's going to grow his hand back before the end of the season? Because I just can't see them keeping up the CGI on this.
It's just, well, no, because when he's got the hand on, it just looks like a regular hand.
Yeah, it's just a glove. It's the Luke Skywalker black glove thing.
All right.
But when it's funny, they're like, remove the hand. And then it's funny. He's like, oh, yeah. I wish all I lost was whatever, and then he takes off his hand.
Haley, do you have anything for the episode?
Sky is Daisy now.
Yes.
Just Daisy.
Yeah, it's a little hard to remember. No, no. Not just hard me? To remember at all. Yep.
I still want to call her Sky.
Yeah. Did we talk about how Fitz's little tube had the word death in it?
Nope.
We haven't talked about it yet.
Let's just talk about Fitz, because there was a lot going on with Fitz.
There
besides
was.
Besides going to Tangiers.
Yeah, so cue me in. What do you got, Haley?
Okay, so he got his little tube of information, and it's going to tell him what's going on with the monolith, and it's death. That's the word he got.
Death. Yep. And, okay, so how does death translate into black hole? I don't understand.
I don't think it does.
We were talking about it before the commercial. Scott and I, and the stinger at the end of the episode, the shawarma there. Scott and I were saying, oh, well, I thought we already knew that this thing's supposed to be death for Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose if the purpose is to transport them to some sort of weird dimension that feeds them to an alien creature, then maybe? But I don't know. That's really the only thing I can think of. Or maybe this is probably just me reading too much ghost story stuff yesterday. Maybe to open it, you have to do some sort of human sacrifice.
Well, has been done before.
Or they just thought it was death because people disappeared into it and never came back.
True. Just gone forever, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Could be.
Oh, maybe that alien creature's name is death?
Maybe.
Like somebody was trying to name their puppy Killer or something, but it's an alien creature and it didn't quite translate.
Or like all those Apocalypse End of the World interpretations we got in X-Men. Before they knew Apocalypse was a person. Well,
yes,
sort of a person.
Kind of. Well, he's a mutant. He's, you know, it's his deal.
Yeah. All right. So the shawarma, what do we got?
We've got Simmons running around in some terrible hellscape.
And I was first watching it. The first thing I thought of was Welcome to Night Vale. I'm like, it's a desert otherworld. We need Carlos. Somebody go to the dog park and bring her back.
All right. I'm out. Haley, what else you got?
Oh, well, no, we already talked about that. About how Lash is killing all those people.
Yep. Do you have any quotes?
Yes.
Let's do it.
You love your new toy, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. Stargate Pioneer like the new toy.
You've been spying on me? I looked at your Facebook page.
I know. Hey, big brother, right? Yeah. Be careful what you post. You never know what's going to be on there.
That was Daisy firing a warning shot.
Dude, nobody really cared. They're like, yeah, that's Daisy.
Yep, it's her thing. She does that.
They're used to it now.
Again, killing it with the math.
Oh, science.
The laws of nature have changed, and until the laws of man change to reflect that, we can only do what we think is right. What we feel is right.
Hey, it's the episode title.
They said the thing.
They said the thing.
It was so eerie hearing it out of the president's mouth the second time, though. It's like, oh, Rosalind's really in charge. President Rosalind. Gee, where have I heard that one before?
Completely unrelated, but my sister was watching 12 Angry Men last time I went to talk to her. Rosalyn is the judge in that, and then Adama is on the jury.
That's true.
I haven't actually seen the most recent
remake.
Yep. Yeah.
Cajun Sean over on Blab said, maybe Lash is death.
Maybe.
Yeah. Could
so
be.
Does that mean Lash has to be the one to go get her?
Or her going in released him from that place.
Oh.
I don't know.
Maybe. All right. What are the quotes?
I need a bigger gun, I guess. Or my axe. Maybe a shotgun axe combination of some sort.
I'm so liking that idea.
I didn't mean that we should make the tragic mistake of getting married. again.
Oh.
But she wants the ring.
It's hers. She paid for it.
It is.
Well, okay, but I mean, there's symbolicism in there.
Or symbolism, even.
Mm-hmm. Symbolism.
And then we got Angry Fitz banging on the monolith.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
trying to get it to suck him up, too.
No.
He wants his woman. He wants his Simmons. All right. An amazing episode. I cannot wait for next week. Next week's going to be a busy week for me. I've got a couple other premieres going on, but this one will be great to see. And it's good. This is a good show still, right?
Yes.
Right. Awesome. Alrighty, so just a little tidbit. If you like this show, you might like some other shows on the Gunna Geek Network, like The Crimson Comet. Haley, what do you have to say about The Crimson Comet?
Well, probably in the next week or so, some of the episodes we recorded this summer that we haven't released yet will be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a new episode coming out pretty soon.
Oh.
Like next week.
Yeah.
And that episode will probably be released October 10th.
All right.
Keep an eye out for it.
Keep an eye. Crimson Comet on the CW show, The Flash. All right. You guys ready to hear some comic book news?
Yay!
Yep. All right. Here we go. Yay. In keeping with the 50th anniversary of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have another S.H.I.E.L.D. mission report from Adam.
This is Consultant Black Adam with your mission report for the 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fury one-shot by David F. Walker with art by Lee Ferguson. In 1965, Nick Fury Sr. and his S.H.I.E.L.D. team are ordered to observe the Watts riots, but not get involved unless they determine that an external power such as Hydra is involved, which doesn't make any of them, especially Gabe Jones, happy. Meanwhile, 50 years later, Nick Fury Jr. is ordered to stop a white supremacist villain named Hatemonger's attempt to buy some technology from Hydra. In the middle of the battle, both Fury and Hatemonger get sent back in time to 1965 in the middle of the riots. Fury is attacked by members of the California National Guard, which doesn't go well for them, allowing Hatemonger to escape. Fury quickly encounters his father's team and eventually gains their trust, calling himself Junior to avoid breaking S.H.I.E.L.D.'s time displacement protocols. They track Hatemonger to Honolulu, where they need to stop him from changing the course of history. This was a pretty good issue, though a bit too on the nose at points, especially with the name of the villain. The art was pretty interesting, especially during the parts prior to the time travel, which showed the parallel stories occurring on the same page. Now on to the news. S.H.I.E.L.D. issue 10, guest starring Howard the Duck, got pushed back to next week, so I will be reviewing it and the 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Cavalry one-shot then. It looks like the Cavalry one-shot will explain what Agent May had to do to earn the nickname The Cavalry in the main Marvel Universe. Since we're approaching the end of the month of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's time to look at the solicit for S.H.I.E.L.D. issue 11, which will release on October 21st. In order to defeat an enemy from the past, Coulson and his team must resurrect a hero from yesteryear, Dominic Fortune. Only Fortune remembers the secret to conquering the threat at hand, but if S.H.I.E.L.D. wants it, they'll have to bargain for it. From looking ahead, it looks like this series will run through the beginning of the year before being replaced by the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series.
Adam, thank you very much for getting us that this week. We look forward to your reports whenever you can get them to us, and looking forward to your delving into the history pretty soon, too, of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics.
Oh, speaking of comics right now, and speaking of Lash, I'm checking Comixology right now to check out what's about to be talked about. Inhuman Volume 1,
yeah,
the comics featuring Lash, are the single issues for 1 through 6 and Volume 1 are on sale.
Woohoo! I love sales on comics. Yay!
Yay!
All right. Are you ladies ready for Neil's Mighty Marvel moment?
Ready.
Ready.
Hi, agents. Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel moment, covering new releases from the week of September 23rd, 2015. It's been a light week from the folks at Marvel, but there are definitely a few titles here that you won't want to miss. So what are we waiting for? Let's get into it. Starting off this week outside the Secret Wars continuity is Deadpool vs. Thanos number 2. Wade Wilson and the Mad Titan Thanos star in this buddy comedy gone wrong as they continue their search across the universe for Death, who is still missing in action. The action really ramped up this issue, and while all the cheap gags that you'd expect from a Deadpool book are still there, I definitely felt like the writers toned it down a lot this issue. As well, the cameo by the Guardians of the Galaxy made this a great ride. The only other non-Secret Wars book this week is another installment in the 50-year anniversary of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury number 1. But since this is part of the S.H.I.E.L.D. event, as usual, I'm going to leave it to consultant Black Adam to give you all the juicy details in his mission report. That's it for non-Secret Wars titles, now let's dive back into Secret Wars. Runaways number 4 finishes this series with Jubilee and the Runaways returning home to Doom's Institute. While throughout the series I found Sanford Green's art a bit over the top at times, there's no arguing that Noelle Stevenson's climactic end to this story, including Bucky and Valeria's revelations, gave this story a nice end, along with a mixed bag of smiles and some somber moments. Years of Future Past number 5 wraps up this fantastic series with the epic climactic battle between Chrissy Pride and her brother Cameron. This series has done a great job of examining how far a new generation of mutant kind would go if pushed to the edge of extinction, and how the ideological divide in Xavier and Magneto's philosophies would evolve over time and hold up. Fans of both the original Days of Future Past, as well as dystopian futures in general, should be sure to pick up this series in a trade paperback when it's released. 1872 number 3 gives us another look at Marvel's version of the Wild West, where Natasha and Red Wolf's plans for retribution against Wilson Fisk and his crew gets put into motion. Red Wolf has been a surprisingly deep character to have come out of this series, and with the recent announcement by Marvel that he'll be getting his own book with the relaunch of the Marvel Universe, a lot of credit has to go to writer Jerry Duggan for breathing life into a disused character. Oh, and did I mention Wild West Iron Man? It's awesome. Also out this week was Inhumans Atlan Rising number 5, which ends another solid Secret Wars title. While the reviews have been mixed for this title, I was pulled in from the start by the characterizations of Black Bolt and his crew of rebels. And this issue gave me everything I was hoping for, as Black Bolt and Medusa teamed up against the Tyranny of Doom. I found the pages leading up to the ending incredibly powerful, as Black Bolt's grief and rage are depicted in a brilliant fashion by the team of Charles Sewell and John Timms. And the ending, while a bit jarring, gave some jaw-dropping insight into the power of God Emperor Doom. Weird World number 4 continues the story of Archon in the Weird World corner of Battleworld, and writer Jason Aaron continues to deliver near perfection in this sword and sorcery setting, and artist Mike Del Mundo's art is nothing short of stunning. The surrealist watercolors are the perfect complement for this story as Archon continues the search for his home and comes face to face with Man-Thing. Again, on the back of some fantastic reviews and a ton of critical praise, Weird World has been picked up as a continuing series in the Marvel relaunch, and I can't wait to see how the Secret War story wraps up in issue number 5. Extinction Agenda number 4 wraps up this series from Arrow showrunner Mark Guggenheim. And while it was fun to see some classic X-Men and New Mutant characters that have been underused in the past few years back in action, the lead-up to the final battle in this issue with Cameron Hodge did feel a wee bit inevitable. Don't get me wrong, as final battles go, this one was a doozy, and some classic X-Men in action is always a good thing, but many people's expectations, including mine, weren't quite met. Finally, Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps number 4 ends not only the series, but writer Kelly Sue DeConnick's epic run at the helm of the Captain Marvel series. Kelly Sue basically reinvented the character of Carol Danvers in 2012 when she took over the series, and this story of Carol and the Banshee Squadron against the Thors was an epic send-off. The depiction of Carol's motivations, along with what drives the Banshees, as well as the callbacks to Kelly Sue's first story arc on Captain Marvel, were beautiful. And Kelly Sue's letter to her readers and fans on the last page of the issue was definitely bittersweet. For all those reasons and more, this book is definitely my pick of the week this week. Wow, that's it for new releases. Now let's crack open the Mylar and take a look at a classic back issue. This week's long box pick was inspired by the news that Moon Knight would be heading to the Marvel Netflix universe. I went back to 2006 to reread issues numbers 1 through 6 of Moon Knight Volume 2 by writer Mark Houston. Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight, has gone through a lot of incarnations and phases, from West Coast Avenger to Batman knockoff to surreal urban detective. The 2006 run is a gritty portrayal of the Fist of Khonshu as he struggles to regain the favor of the God of Vengeance. And in my opinion, this series is probably more accessible than the current Marvel run and more likely suited to a Netflix adaptation. What grabs me about this run is both the raw energy of the story, as well as Moon Knight defining his place in the superhero ecosystem, and I highly recommend it for anyone looking to start to understand this complex character ahead of seeing him on the small screen. Again, that's Moon Knight Volume 2 from 2006, issues 1 through 6, collected in trade paperback form in The Bottom storyline. That's it for this week, guys. If I've missed anything or you want to share your thoughts on the title, head on over to the forums or grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail. Later, guys!
That was epic, as it always is, Neil. Thank you very much. Ladies, what's your favorite parts?
I'm really looking forward to reading the Carol Corp one.
Okay.
I like that Marvel has in place, or S.H.I.E.L.D. does, protocols for when you accidentally get sent back in time.
Well,
you got to
yes.
do it. Yeah, I mean, just yep. in case. You never know, right?
For all the times it happens.
Because it's a thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that happens so often. It's, oh, you got sent back in time. Oh, you got sent to the future. Oh, you got sent to a realm filled with zombies or dinosaurs or monkeys or pigs or just any of the sheer number of things that happen. You know they have protocols.
Monkeys and pigs together.
It's like, the, you know that emergency actions little flip book thing that's hanging up at work? Just flip through. Okay, got sent back in time.
There you go.
Oh, zombie threat. This is what you do.
All right. So again, if this is a podcast on the Gunna Geek Network, if you're liking what you're hearing now, guess what? I've got one for you next week. You will watch the CW show Arrow. And then the next night, Thursday night, come back to GunnaGeek.com/live and listen to the Starling Tribune, Chris, Neil, and myself. And Jay, if we can get him, and Wing, if we can get him, we'll be talking about the season 4 premiere of Arrow, the show that started the comeback of comic book shows on TV. You guys ready to get in some news?
Yay!
Yep.
Every time I hear that, I think of Phil Collins.
A little bit. We have some news about casting on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, we do. I screamed when I saw this on Twitter. Dan Furigel, who is probably better known as, especially to me, as Agron from Spartacus, announced that he's going to be joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm very pleased because Agron was one of my favorite characters.
It's going to be great.
Have you seen anything else beyond just the tweet he sent out?
I know there was something else that where they actually listed the character name and everything, but I forgot to look for it.
Okay, I was just wondering if he was going to do one episode or an arc or what.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know he's at least going to be in an episode, and that's good enough for me, and I'm very happy. Agron!
So, okay, if you're listening to the podcast now, I have to forewarn you. Kind of shelter your ears a little bit, because we have some news about Jessica Jones.
Yay!
What's up?
So, a clip was released. They're like, okay, it's our first clip of her in action. And it's a really short clip. It's the alarm clock going off. It's playing Minnie Rips' Loving You. And then Jessica Jones's arm comes out and she smooshes the alarm clock. This is actually a scene directly from the Alias comics.
Smoosh. All righty. Yes. So Jessica Jones, it's a thing. It's coming out November 20th.
So soon.
It's coming before we know it. Yes, we will cover it on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So get ready. And then, you know, I was thinking about this as I was watching the episode for the second time. Civil War, we're getting ready for Civil War, and the lead into Civil War is obviously going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we're leading up to it right now. Like, we have already in the MCU, but we are definitely seeing some hints of that as we come up to that. So we have some news about the definitive end of the trilogy.
Yeah. So recently, Kevin Feige said that he considers Civil War to be a conclusive end to a trilogy of Captain America films. And that has some people nervous. But Evans has said that he'd really like to play Captain America for even longer than he's currently signed on to play.
Of course, because the money, you know.
Well, also because he's finally seeming to like be really comfortable in the role now. And so there's a lot of people who are like, is Cap going to die? Is it going to be something else? I don't really know, but I want Cap to stay around because I really like Chris Evans' Cap.
I like him too. I like Captain. He's my favorite.
He's my favorite.
Maybe not Chris Evans, but definitely he's my favorite comic book character. So, you know, we're talking about Civil War and we have to choose a side. We have not chosen a side here on this podcast yet. We have not done that drill. However, a couple people that we know of have.
Right. Chloe Bennett and Stan Lee have taken sides and they're both siding with Cap.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, how could you not? But I don't know exactly what the issues with the sides are going to be in the movie, but in the comics, with the whole pro and anti-registration side, it could have been a much more evenly handled issue, but instead they made it all for freedom, and then we are going to round up people and put them in actual camps in the negative zone or the phantom zone or wherever Reed Richards set it up because he's a jerk. So it was kind of one of those things where, like, if you're on Tony Stark's side, I mean,
you're literally a Nazi.
Yeah, your friends are questioning you.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Also, there was the time they cloned Thor and turned him into a clone Thor robot, and it's like, dude, who does that?
Dude.
Tony Stark. Tony Stark does that.
What's with the robots? Come on. All right.
It was not a very evenly handled issue in the comics, so I'm hoping it's a bit more evenly handled in the movies.
Yeah, well, it's because there was clearly a good side and a bad side, and they just needed one of our characters on the bad side, but yeah.
All right. So, what's up with Fox? Don't they get it? No Rogue in the Gambit movie? What's up? Come on.
Yeah, so somebody asked Anna Paquin on Twitter, are we going to see Rogue in the Gambit movie? And she said no. And then a bunch of people were like, they started releasing it as press. And she's like, that wasn't a press release. I just answered given the information that I have so far.
Definitely not akin to the Marvel snipers she is.
Well, because it's not Marvel Studios.
Exactly.
Fox doesn't have as many snipers.
Exactly. Fox needs to learn.
So I don't know if that means she's not going to be in it at all, or if maybe there's going to be a cameo they're deciding on later, or maybe there's just, I mean, who knows? At this point, it's still pretty early. But so far, at this point, there is, something that I really should have put in the news, and I'm going to put in it right now under just awe and cool stuff.
Yeah?
There was a con this weekend. It's Salt Lake City Con.
Okay.
Salt Lake City Comic Con. And Chris Evans and Hayley Atwell were there, and they were, you know, taking fan pictures and stuff.
Aww.
And a couple got engaged. The guy was dressed as Captain America, the girl's dressed as Black Widow. And during their photo session, they got engaged. And you see Chris Evans going like, oh, cool. And Hayley Atwell making the world's most adorable face ever. So
awesome.
It's wonderful.
To be with these guys playing along at the cons, they just must have so much fun on the weekends when they have to do this stuff. It's great.
Yes. Hayley Atwell tweeted about it. And I forgot to link it. But yes, I'm thankfully it's linked now.
It's linked now. Go check the show notes. Listener, you will find a very cool thing indeed. Alrighty, are you ladies ready for the weekly feedback?
Ready.
Feed us.
Alright, thank you very much, listener, for giving us your feedback. We do read each and every bit that comes our way, including Andrew Wilson, who is on Twitter at Arcanity23, said, the entire opening was pretty amazing. New bus included. Yes, I'm so glad we got that 4 minutes before the show. It was, I would have been passed out had I seen that live on TV. And I would have missed the rest of the episode. So I'm glad I was able to pass out just after the 4 minutes. It was awesome. And then fan of the show, Jerry Rupiper, who is on Twitter at Jerry Rupiper, said, I am so glad to have you finding all this stuff for us. Yay! Well, it's not just us, you know, admittedly. We have a horde of listener.
We have a team of experts.
Yes, that give us tweets, news, tips, and tricks along the way. And we really appreciate everything that's done. As a matter of fact, the 4 minutes, the new bus, the everything, most of the news that you see comes from other people. And we really appreciate that. So Black Adam at Star Saber underscore 222, who you just heard in his SHIELD mission report, said, "Feedback I forgot to record." So a little teaser there. He's got some feedback for us. "Do they have one of those drop pods on the new bus for Lola? You know, we haven't seen Lola yet. We
Hers
need to
is
see
probably Lola. Red.
Yeah. Candy apple." Mm-hmm. And then Adam also says, "Fitz deserves an Emmy." Yes, Fitz. This is an amazing Fitz episode. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then long-term show listener Andy, who goes on Twitter by at Andy Migna, said, "First name in the credits, except the main cast, I noticed was William Sandler, and I waited long time till he appeared. Hashtag all connected." Yeah, baby. All right. And then over on Facebook, we did post a picture of the new bus from a screen cap from those 4 lovely minutes. And Adam said, "Okay, that's awesome. What do you think the official name will be? Quinn Carrier, maybe? What do you think?"
The bus 2.
Bus 2? What do you think, Haley?
Bus 2 Electric Boogaloo.
There you go. All right. I teased it before. We do have a voicemail from Adam. Here we go.
"Hey, guys. This is Adam, just calling in with my thoughts on the season premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I do find it interesting that so soon after the comic that explored Mockingbird's more scientific side, they're going that direction in the show, too. So, what do you think? Science Mama for her nickname now instead of Science Babysitter? As for the rest of the show, I was kind of expecting the opposing group to end up being S.W.O.R.D., but looks like they're going somewhere a little different with that. Lash, I'm still a bit iffy on, though I'm wondering if he's somehow related to the Monolith. And how about Simmons being in the Phantom Zone there at the end? I wonder where they're going with that. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye."
Thank you very much, Adam, for your feedback. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, we do have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. "While I miss the bus, I love the new bus." Yay. So there you go. You ladies ready to walk it out, or do you have some feedback that I didn't know about?
I'm just glad Ward has never been on this bus and soiled it with his wardiness.
That's true. All righty, we're going to walk this one out after that great revelation by Agent Haley. Join us next week as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 2, Purpose in the Machine. We have a website, that's legendsofshield.com, voicemail line 844-THE-BUS-1. Or 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook page. Search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube, where all the episodes can be found. Also, don't forget our forums. It can be found at forums.gunnageek.com or search for Gunna Geek on your Tapatalk app. We are now streaming, if you haven't figured it out by now, on Blab and Spreaker, so you can catch us there as well. So go ahead and favorite us or follow us or whatever the protocol is, and we will be there every week as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter and Lauren.
Science Babies!
And what's the other series?
Jessica Jones!
Jessica Jones! And then what comes after that?
Luke Cage!
There you go! Luke Cage.
I exist to make silly noises.
I just want to say thank you to everybody that popped in on Blab today. I really appreciate you. We'll transition to an after show over there. Won't go away. So if you want to join us there, you can hop on the open seat and talk to us. So thank you very much.
Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Everybody who follows us there, everybody who replies to us with news, everybody who hangs out with the live tweets, everybody who favorites our tweets, just, you know, everybody. We love you guys.
Yeah, and when you're sending your feedback, keep in mind we've got another giveaway going on right now. It's going to be open until we do our podcast over episode 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's the Angry Groot, and you've got to tell us about Coulson's alternate hand.
Absolutely. Can't wait to give that away. Lauren, you will be getting your Ant-Man crate really soon. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
If you didn't catch it last night on Gunna Geek, Stephen and I announced Better Podcasting.
Better Podcasting?
A podcast about podcasting for hobby podcasters.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk to the fan podcaster.
The hobbyist podcast.
Exactly. That's the exact verbiage we use, too, is a hobby podcaster. And as part of that, if you want to go to betterpodcastinggear.com, that is with two G's in the podcasting gear.
Ah, what you did there.
Yeah. You will see a little bit. That's not the main site, but that's what I've got up so far. Steven's going to work on the main site.
Ah, nice.
So last week when they were supposed to install our connection to the fiber,
yeah,
my brother was supposed to stay home, so when they came, they could do it, and he left.
Jerk.
I was like, you... That's why we scheduled that appointment for then, because you said you'd be here.
So jerk, no fiber?
Not yet. They actually came by today asking me to set up another appointment. I'll have to call when I get off work tomorrow. Actually, they probably won't be open yet when I get off work tomorrow. We need to figure out what the criteria we're going to use for the next giveaway.
It was the alternate Coulson's hand, right?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, like a fish or a turkey. Let me throw this away and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Ooh, a fry.
That's like in my car. Ooh, a fry. Yum. Nom, 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 nom.
Nom, nom.
Live on Mixlr. We're going to go live on Blab.
Do it live.
Here. We need like a podcasters do it on the air shirt or something.
I think I know a way that we can do that.
My cousin does, my cousin works for a t-shirt place. I could get us those.
We are now on the air for the first time at Spreaker.
Whee! Are we live on TalkShoe?
No, and not Ustream either. We're not going to go there.
Dead on TalkShoe.
You can get us at all the ways, our Twitters, our Facebooks, whatever, even our voicemail line, 612-888. That's wrong. Even our voice, even our voice
for the bus one.
Yes. All right. Is Coulson's robot hand a prototype for what Misty Knight will get? That's a good question,
I hope
Sean.
So.
Yeah. And then anybody that's in the chat, anybody that's in the room, if you guys want to pop on, I'll take one at a time here because the ladies will probably be coming in as well. Because
he can't handle more than one at a time.
Nice.
Ooh, I'm a co-host. Oh, I'm no longer a co-host. Hey, I'm a co-host again.
Yay.
This is a roller coaster of emotions. Dear Google, make Chrome better. Love, Haley.
I gotta get one of those cool little arms you guys got.
Haley and I both have a Heil PL2T arm, and it mounts to the corner of a desk, or you can buy a different mount. I have one that screws into a desktop, and... they're about $120. There's a Rode PSA.
More expensive than the mic.
I know. There's a Rode PSA 1 that is about $100, but we've had some bad experiences with them on the network.
Had a bad experience.
The squeaky experience, really. And so there's a bunch of cheaper ones. Matter of fact, Chris Campo, Uber Geek, just got a $15 one. So you'd have to ask him how he's liking his, but if I remember correctly, the one that he has actually pops up from the top rather than down, and I don't think there's a way to go down. Matter of fact, this, as you're looking at it, is actually an extra arm that I've had to put on.
I was going to say, that's different than mine.
that they can be expensive or they can be cheap. The problem with the cheaper ones is they do break.
Well, I'll probably just make one somehow.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
They do have to carry weight, though. You'd be surprised how heavy the microphone is. And then Haley and I have these shock mounts. If you wanted a shock mount for yours, it would be an MY420.
I'm going to have to write that down later.
Did he get an ATR 2100?
Yes. Just go to betterpodcastinggear.com.
Yep.
And
because we went through a few shock mounts to find the right one.
Yeah, it's specific. It's the OnStage MY320. So if you go to that website that I just popped in there and then go to the store on that website, there's a whole page for microphone shock mounts, recommended shock mounts.
And what is a shock mount for?
It isolates the stand from the microphone.
So when you adjust stuff, that sound doesn't carry through into your mic.
Yeah, like you'll hear Lauren every once in a while pound on her desk and you'll be able to hear her through the stand, and she does have a shock mount, but it deadens the sound through it. But it's really the booming mic handling noise that you like this that you don't want. So if I were you, that might be something. But if you're very careful, you don't need one. There are different stands to get, though.
Okay.
Whatever your price range is. Or if you want to make one, that'd be cool, too. I'd like to see that. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.